that March 2018 turns out to be our 30th anniversary. How do you like that? Wasn't that sweet? Okay? And so let me relate a little bit of the story about how we met. So 33 years ago, this was back in 1987, I think, I first met my wife in a young adult, what we call then a young adult fellowship meeting. And she was introduced to me by a dear sister. And of course, I spoke to her, introduced, and then that was it. I didn't see her for months, I think, after that. For some reason, I don't know why, but I didn't see her for a long time. Okay? Until one Sunday morning, this was months later, I believe, I happened to attend this early morning Sunday worship service. And after the service, I saw her standing out there, somewhat alone. So I went to her and says, "Oh, hello, good to see you again. I haven't seen you for, you know, so on and so forth, a long time." And then we started talking, and I found out that her office was not far from my office, away from the city. It's quite away. So quite, you know, it's not a place where you get a lot of eating joints, so to speak. So I say, "Oh, interesting. Why don't we go out for lunch?" Then we agreed, and I think some of you might have heard this story, but never mind, bear with me. So I picked her up in my flashy car, and then we went to an Italian restaurant for lunch. And of course, it was a very interesting lunch, and time flew. And so we had our lunch, and it was time to go, because, you know, lunch hour, working, it, you only got maybe an hour. So we probably took more than an hour then. But nevertheless, it was time to pay. So I went over to the cashier counter, and I whipped out my wallet, took out my credit card, and wanted to pay. And the cashier looked at me and says, "Sorry, sir, we do not take credit." So I look at my wallet. Oops, I don't have any cash. So I said, "Hold on." I went back to the lady, my lunch partner, and I said, "I don't have any cash. You have to lend me money." And so she was gracious enough, and obviously she understood this saying. All right? The fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So she was so quick to volunteer and pay for lunch. Yeah? So that was our first meeting. But I didn't say that to her then, but it's pretty embarrassing. I think you know that, right? You're inviting somebody and you don't have money. But anyway, I didn't say it to her then, but subsequently I said to her, and I think some of you heard this before, I said to her, "This is the best deposit that you put down as an investment." Because for the price of one lunch, I'm spending the rest of my life paying back to her as a return for investment. Agreed? So, and this is a true story, all right? So as it turns out, on our 30th anniversary, there was a big return on investment. So that's what happened. We bought that place and we wanted to do a rebuilding project, okay? And I would like to use that project, the rebuilding project, as an analogy to bring across the point of my message today. So, the rebuilding project. Now, to rebuild a house, an old house, obviously you start out by doing a demolition and a rebuild. You demolish the old house and rebuild a new house. And in many ways, that picture, if you like, speaks to us about what happens when a person undertakes, that a person undertakes when he believes and accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, okay, and becomes a Christian. It is effectively a rebuilding project, all right? The old is taken away and something new comes along. Now, let us start with a little on the need, the scriptural background text on the need of why all of us need to rebuild our lives, our whole life. Now, Jesus, as you know, Jesus is God incarnate. Just think about this for a moment, okay? God so loved each one of us. He saw the desperate condition of all of us. All right? All of us living in sin and in darkness, totally cut off from the life of God. And here he is coming down, taking the form of a man. He humbled himself, the Bible says, take on the form of a man. And he came down to be with us, his people, mankind. And what did he say? He came and he spoke the truth of God to men. And he said to all of us, we all need to be born again. That's what he says in John 3. And he said it twice. Then to a leader of the religious, the religious leader that came to him. He said, you must be born again. And then he'd explain what it meant to be born again. He says, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. And he did not, and obviously when the religious leader heard that, he says, how can this be? How can a person go back into the mother's womb and born again? It's just not possible. And Jesus said, no, it's not physical rebirth. What is it? It is spiritual rebirth. All right? Spiritual rebirth. And so, the old person must die and a new man must come forth in Jesus Christ. And so we see that also in 2 Corinthians, right? It says, if any man, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, is a new creation. The old is gone and he is a totally new person. So then we ask ourselves, you must be born again. What are the steps? What are the steps that we need to take to be converted, born again, and then to move on with God? Let us look at two texts. Now, this is all nothing new, very familiar with us, especially in this church, because we have been spending a lot of time, praise be to God, spending a lot of time teaching in the life group all these principles. So it is good for us to remind ourselves, for those who have heard it before, to remind ourselves and ask the question, where are we in this process with respect to the Word of God? But for those who have not heard it before, all right, it is imperative, very, very important for us to hear, to learn, to absorb it into us, and then to act on it. Because we all must be born again, Jesus said. Almighty God came and laid out the truth that we must be born again. So it is imperative for us to know it, to believe it, and to act on it. Now, in Acts chapter 3, the first step is that we must repent. It says, maybe we all read together, Acts 3:19, 1, 2. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, to repent, translated here from the original Greek, to the word repent means to change our thinking, the way that we think. We used to think in accordance with how we are taught, with our own mind, carnal mind, all right? That's how we think. Now, repent means we no longer think like that. But how are we supposed to think? We are supposed to think in accordance with how God says we ought to think, right? Not our own way, okay? So that is repent. First, we have to change our thinking. To be converted and be converted. Converted means what? Turn about, okay? So it takes action. You know what I mean? To turn about, you need to act on it. So the first thing that needs to happen is we need to change our thinking, all right? Change our way that we used to think in our old ways. No more our old way, the Bible says. We have to change the way we think to the way God thinks, as recorded in His Word, the Bible. Okay? So that's what we need to do. Change our thinking and then to be converted. We act on it. All right? And it says that when you do that, our sins will be blotted out, taken away. Amen. And times of refreshing. Again, the word refreshing there, it actually means revival. Recovery of breath. Okay? As translated here, is refreshing from the presence of God. So we become alive. Amen. Breath comes into us again. The breath of God comes into us anew and afresh. So that's what happened when we do that first step. The process of renewal, born again, and life's transformation is started. Okay? Now, we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. This is a very familiar text for us that lays the foundational doctrine of Christ, the foundation that all of us as Christians must have in our lives, okay? And I call it the process. And I put it down in this manner, okay? So there are 7 steps, okay? And the good thing is, as you all know, our church is fully committed to help us all, okay? God permitting, help us all in this process, okay? That is the commitment that the church is doing and committed to doing. So all we need is that we make that step of availing ourselves, and the church will be prepared to work with us to do this. So the 7 steps are, number 1, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and perfection. Now, this is the foundational doctrine, right? And it is very, very important for us to know this, okay? It becomes a part of us. Because in Ephesians 4:14, we are exhorted that we should no longer henceforth to be like children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine. But we are very sure in our foundation. Okay? That is the purpose of it all. And also, to recognize that this work is by the Spirit of God. All right? It is not by our own effort, if you know what I mean. Okay? Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now we are made perfect by the works of the flesh? We are no more. It is this process is not by works, our own effort. It is by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is believing in God and expecting Him to work in our lives." Okay? But it is very, very important for us to have the foundation, right foundation. So back to the analogy. Okay? So after spending a lot of time visiting, talking to builders and so on and so forth, okay, I learned a lot of things. I begin to understand that there is a process, okay? And it is a very detailed process. And I think people who are in the engineering field know exactly what it takes, and especially if you are in that industry, the building industry. But anyway, simplify it in my layman terms. The first thing you need to do is you need to do a demolition of an old house. Okay? So demolition is like what? Repentance from dead works. Okay? It is like repentance from dead works. So what happens during the demolition process in the building of a new house from an old? The first thing actually they do is that they actually conduct, before the demolition, they conduct what they call a baiting. Okay? And by baiting, what they actually do is they spray poison all over the place in the house. Okay? We call it poison in my term, but basically the intent is to destroy and get rid of pests like rats, cockroaches, white ants, and all the nasty, creepy crawlies. Okay? That's what they do first. All right? And then after they have done that baiting for about a week or so, then, only then, okay, they can bring in the bulldozer and start to tear down the old house and remove all the debris. But not only that, you think, oh, flat land, demolish the old house. No, no, no. They actually have to go and dig up all those things that are underground, up to a meter or so. They got to get rid of all the things below ground. The pipes, gas pipe, water pipes, sewer, anything below the ground, they have to clean it up. Okay? So that's what God has done for us. When we repent, not only all those things that are obvious, okay, get demolished out as rubbish. All those things that are unseen in our lives, the sin that beset us, the curses upon us, okay, the bondages in our lives, everything is demolished and removed. Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that, okay? Not only the obvious seen ones, the unseen, what we don't see with our natural eyes, God has dealt with them also. Amen. Praise be to the name of Jesus Christ. Huh? You know, in 1865, all right, in the U.S., by an act of Congress, okay, slavery was abolished in the U.S. Okay? But did you think that all slaves were free then? No. Sadly, why? Actually, they are already free by an act of Congress. But many slaves, because they were uneducated, because the news didn't get to them quick enough, because they were afraid of the new unknown, they chose to remain slaves, or they were still held as slaves. And you know, many of us, unfortunately, if I might put it that way, okay, we do not realize what God has done for all of us at the point of repentance. We still live our lives like as though we are slaves to sin, slaves to the old master. No more. In Jesus' name, no more. We declare, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare we are all free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it is imperative upon us all to live our lives free as God intends and as God has done for us. He has done it all on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Praise be to the name of God. So, after demolition comes the next phase. The next phase is after you demolish, you do the earthworks, and then you start to lay the concrete slab to be the foundation of the new house. Yeah? But that concrete slab has to be laid in a very prescribed manner to a design. Okay? What God has intended for us, okay, it has to be that way. Or rather, the owner designed in that instance, okay? So it has to be laid in a very prescribed form, and that is what I would call faith toward God. Faith is the foundation. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is, faith toward God, is the foundational slab that is laid in every Christian's life. And it's got to be just like the foundation of a house, it's got to be laid carefully, and it's got to be laid accurately and properly for the house to be able to be built strong. It will not be suspect. If there was anything that was untoward in that foundation, you would expect something to go wrong in the house in future. You agree with me? If somebody say, for example, that the quality of the cement that they used in that foundation, or where the hole is supposed to be for the sewer or the piping, okay, you will have problem later on, won't you? All right? So similarly, our faith that is in toward God must be accurate. Okay? It must be based upon what? Certainly not upon man's interpretation or pronouncement. Okay? But it must be based on the Word of God, the Word of truth. Our faith in God must be based on that. Okay? And obviously in Hebrews chapter 11, you can read all about it. And if our faith was proper in God in the right way, all right? Great. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about God doing great exploit because of this man and woman of faith. Okay? And similarly in our lives, the same thing can happen. Praise be to the name of God. Now, the next step, after the foundation is laid, and then the pillars will come up, and the walls will start to come up. Yeah? And when that happens, you begin to get a sense of the form and the shape of the house, don't you? It begins to look like something like a house. Am I correct? And I call this water baptism, step 3A. Okay? The walls and the pillars are like water baptism. What do you mean, water baptism? What has the walls and the pillars got to do with water baptism? Let me explain. What exactly is water baptism? Symbolically, for all of us who have been baptized and who have gone through the baptismal class, they would have told you, water baptism, what happens? You go down below the water, and then you come up from the water in Jesus' name. Okay? Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it signifies what? The death, burial, and resurrection of our, each one of us. We die to our old self, we come up anew, right? But for every one of us who have been baptized, we also know that not only does it mean that, but what does it actually also mean? It means that we commit ourselves to certain things. Am I correct? What do we commit ourselves to? What do we commit ourselves to? Anyone? When we get water baptized, what do you actually commit yourself to? Anyone? Hey? Sorry? Commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Yeah, we do that. More than that, actually, we actually commit ourselves to obeying, number one, the commandment of Christ, because that's what he told us, every one of us, right? To be baptized. The Bible tells us that. But we are also committing ourselves to follow Christians' tenets and beliefs and practices. Am I correct? We are actually committing ourselves to that. We are declaring openly that we are no more like what we were. We're going to go this way, Christian way. All right? And this is the way that we're going to believe and conduct our lives. Certain sets of practices. So then, what actually happened at water baptism is, beside obeying, okay, we are actually beginning to create a shape and a form to what a Christian is all about. You follow what I mean? So that's how it becomes like the walls and the pillars, okay? We are actually shaping ourselves like how God wants a Christian to conduct their lives. How a Christian should be. Am I not? Correct? So that's how it is. All right? So water baptism is like the walls and the pillars and everything. Okay? We become shaped like what a house is like, as God intends a Christian to be. Okay? And so one of the things, obviously, is that we are also committing to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in this format, okay? Where we can fellowship with one another, learn together, grow together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And worship the Almighty God who is worthy of our worship. And step 3B, remember, it is doctrine of baptisms. So we have water baptism, and we have baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here, it is what I call the feed out. Okay? The analogy is like the feed out to the house of the cabling, the electrical cables, the gas pipe, the water pipes, and so on and so forth. All right? Now, a house without the feed out is not a house. It looks like a house, okay? But can it function as a house? Would you live in a house with none of these things? I don't think so, okay? No way. So it can't function as a house. So the fit out, if you like, is what makes the house a house, a comfortable place where you can live in and serve. So similarly, for every Christian, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like the fit out. It empowers us. It helps us to be able to function as a proper Christian in the house of God, in our daily lives, okay? So we all need, just like a house need all this fit out, we all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? That's how it is. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the verse here actually is saying that in the Christian life, we are always at war. If you are not at war, we are at war. What is the war between? The flesh and the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit. And it says down there, you cannot do the things that you would. Many times, all right, we know that saying, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we use that as an excuse sometimes, don't we? I know I have. But honestly, in our daily lives, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit of God, so that we can function as a Christian as God intends us to be. Okay? Agree with me? We really need the Spirit of God. And actually, we have walking by the Spirit is actually walking by grace. Okay? And the Bible promises us that we have access into this grace by which we stand through faith. Okay? All right? We have access to it every day. So it behooves us to do that. Okay? To come to Him and say, Lord, every day when you do your devotion, read the Word of God and say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to do, give me the wisdom to do the right thing. Okay? And next one, after you have the house, is cap it off with a roof. Roof speaks of covering. And I put that as laying on of hands. Okay? Laying on of hands. When the pastor lay a hands on you, okay? You are actually subjecting yourselves to the authority that God has placed over our lives, the pastors, the presbytery, okay? Covering speaks of shelter, protection, okay? So it is so important for us that as Christians, we must constantly not expose ourselves by being on our own, okay? And I think last Tuesday when we had our live group, Grace was sharing. It says the worst place a person can be, especially when you are in time of need, is to isolate yourself. take yourself away out of protection. Okay? That is the worst place to be. You know, in the animal kingdom, I think the example was given that evening, in the animal world, when the predators wants lunch, okay? I'm hungry. I want my lunch. What do they go for? Do they go charging into the herd? Only in the way of trying to look for the stragglers, okay? The one that is outside the herd is the one that the predator will go after. All right? When you are hurt, as in H-U-R-T, you are hurt, you're suffering, okay? You have a knee, okay? Stay in the herd. The herd protects you, okay? All right? Because the predators will be looking for the one that is outside, and it will be easy meal. They will have their meal. They will have their lunch. So it is important for every Christian that they must find a place in the house of God. Stay under the protection of God-ordained leaders, okay? And you will have covering, you will have protection, you will have impartation of whatever we need in terms of prayers, laying on of hands for healing, and teaching, counsel, okay? So do that. So the roof over the house protects us from the elements, right? From the rain, from the storm, from the sun. The church gives us that protective cover by prayer, by teaching, okay? So it is very good for us to do that. And next, after the roof is done, you have pretty much something that looks like a house now. And coming your way in future are all the enhancements. Okay? The enhancements. The decorations, if you like. Okay? To make it nice. So we have, coming your way soon, resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment, and finally, perfection, which is our goal and our great reward. Praise be the name of Jesus. You know, there was I think we all heard this missionary, right? Jim Elliot. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Praise God. Let's move on to the final slide. The lesson learned. I'm still learning that lesson, by the way, because the house is not built yet. It's just starting. Right. Now, there is a cost to be met at every stage. And no matter which stage you are, you need to count the cost and be prepared for it. As we are building this house, okay, the way that God wants to do it, according to his design, at every stage, there is a cost. And if you are involved in any project before, you will know that cost overrun is very, very normal and common, isn't it? Cost overrun. So we need not only to count the cost at every stage, but we also need to be prepared for cost overrun. You might find that that you may have to put up a little sacrifice, okay, to attend another life group, another Bible study, another prayer meeting, and so on and so forth. Okay? Am I correct? Yeah. You might have to do that. We may have to spend another hour at home, all right? Go and do a bit of Bible reading instead of doing something else that you enjoy doing. That is part of the cost. Okay? So there is a cost. We have to count the cost. Jesus say, all right, that in Luke 14:28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? We have to count the cost as well and be prepared. And it's a lot, I can tell you that, as far as the housing project is concerned. But in our lives too, yeah? In our lives too, okay? And Paul wrote there, I count all things but loss that I may win the prize. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. But I've got good news for you. The good news is that during the process, do not forget to commit everything to God. All right? Do not forget to commit everything to God. In fact, we know that our God is sovereign. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. And our God is omnipresent. He is always there with us. Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He is with us every step of the way. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So in this process, do not forget, okay, that he is there. Always remember to what I say, what I call, this term called, practice the presence of God. Recognize, all right, in all our busyness, in all our daily living, in all our working, in the busyness of the project, all right, looking here, running there, do not forget the presence of God. Commit. In fact, in Philippians, maybe you put up the verse up there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. At the end of that verse 5, maybe you can turn to it. It says there, at the end of verse 5, it says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is there with us. And verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God and to our God. So what is that everything? that everything includes the process. Okay? The process. That is to say, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptism, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, laying out on hands, okay? And we are already resurrected. Our spirit is already resurrected. It's only the body that is going to happen in future. Okay? So, everything, practice the presence of God. Commit ourselves to the process, but praise be to God, He is with us every step of the way. Yep. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasikarabandaramasukarabayandaramasikarabandai. Hallelujah, Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your great presence in the midst of us, your people. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you are here. Lord, that you are speaking to each one of us. You are releasing your grace upon each one of us. That, Lord, everything that we have heard this morning, Lord, we pray, Lord, let it build in us faith towards you, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to come humbly before you, to bow before you, King of kings and Lord of lords, to begin to think the way that you want us to think, not according to our carnal nature. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, let your word sing into our hearts and take root and change the way, Lord, that we think. Lord, grant us the grace, we pray in Jesus' name, that we begin to take your words of spirit, your words of life, and begin, Lord, to change the way that we think in our daily lives, Lord, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. We repent of our own ways, Lord, and we say we want to walk in your ways, in accordance, Lord, to your living word this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, lay within us the correct foundation for our lives, Lord, that we will be built upon the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, when the storms come, Lord, we will stand strong in the name of Jesus. We will not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. But, Lord, we will be firm in our stand, Lord, according to your living word, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us. Help us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that every day you are there to help us in our walk. Lord, we call upon you. We call upon you and we reach out to you, Lord. Help us, we ask in the name of Jesus, that we will conduct ourselves that will bring glory to your name, bear fruit unto righteousness that is worthy of your calling in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Empower us, we pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will be your witnesses, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. To those who are around us, we ask, hallelujah. We thank you, we praise you. Lord, help us to walk and be led by your Spirit in our daily lives, Lord, that we will be called sons of the living God, hallelujah, of the Most High God, and worthy unto you, all glory and honor and power that bring glory to your name this every day of our lives, we pray. This we ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Have musician. Just want to encourage you this morning. I think the message is God is, we are a building project. So everybody say building project. We're a building project, yeah? And we want to commit everything to the Lord this morning. Commit our lives to the Lord. Just because we already know these 7 points, all right, because for some of us, we've gone through the teaching quite a fair bit. But just because we have learned it and it's not a one thing that you learn and you know about it, it's a lifestyle, isn't it? Because God is building. We are not a finished product yet. We are still going. We are still going towards this finished product. We are going unto perfection, unto maturity. And in the process, can I say this? Let's commit everything to the Lord. You know, like I said again, everything, every stage of the way, God is just doing that work until that day when we see Him, when He returns. And He will bring us into completion. But every day, every time, let's commit ourselves to the Lord. You know, and let me say this as a thought here is, when we, you see, we talk about a building project, right? Whoever is doing the project, whoever are doing all the planning, they know what the outcome should look like because they've already got the blueprints, the designs. They know, you know, maybe they've got, what do you call those prototypes sometimes they have for big buildings, right? Big building projects. They know what the outcome is going to be like, right? But we are just like, let's say we're the consumers, they're building. And we just see, oh, I can only see the walls. Oh, I can just see a foundation. And we're like, what is that? This is not what I'm paying for. Of course, we don't do that, right? What I'm saying is we can look at our lives and we see like it's just only at one level. God already knows the full picture. Sometimes we don't see it, but God sees it. So in every step of the way, don't be like, oh, why can I only just see the slab? Okay, hang on, that's coming. Don't worry. Have you ever been annoyed when you're trying to do something and you haven't even finished it and people are already commenting, it's like, oh, that's not good. You haven't even heard the whole thing. You haven't seen the whole thing yet. Oh, it's not good. And you're like, let me at least finish what I intend to do or show to you, isn't it? So let God be God, and He knows best. And so I invite you to also commit our ways to the Lord and see the way He sees this morning. Just want to conclude with this song, and we're going to sing the bridge, I Will Build My Life. Hallelujah. Stand to our feet. And if you need prayer after that, please, we invite you to come. You need healing, we'll lay hands on you. We believe in divine healing. Otherwise, the service is dismissed. Have a blessed Sunday. Amen. And I...